Hi, my name is Kennedy, and today I'll be talking about how Jim Crow laws and the deadly and discriminatory actions taken during were genocidal towards African Americans. Before I begin, I want to remind you of what defines genocide according to the UN. Quote, in the present convention, genocide means any of the following acts committed with intent to destroy, in whole or in part, a national, ethnical, racial, or religious group such as, number one, killing members of the group. Number two, causing serious bodily or mental harm to members of the group. Number three, deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part. Number four, imposing measures intended to prevent births within the group. Number five, forcibly transferring children of the group to another group. Jim Crow, a system of racial segregation, ruled the South for years. These laws mandated segregation of parks, drinking fountains, schools, libraries, trains, buses, and bathrooms, affecting each and every Southern African American. During the Jim Crow era, there is a saying, separate but equal. But in all actuality, the black facilities were always in worse condition than the white facilities, if functioning at all. Signs saying colored only or white only were only constant reminders of white supremacy in America, or in other words, the belief that white people were the superior race, and that in the South, the African Americans were subhuman. Okay, so what triggered Jim Crow? After the Civil War, during Reconstruction that is, most states did not implement a segregation system right away. It was a process and an accumulation of laws. The passing of the 14th and 15th Amendment, the Reconstruction Act, the Freedmen's Bureau, and the rise of a few black politicians angered the white South and caused for a rise in white supremacist hate groups, such as the KKK. Such groups would terrorize black people by going up to doors and threatening them, and if that didn't work, they would use force, brutal force. Racism in America has been present since the birth of this nation, and after slavery ended, a new discriminatory institution commenced. Even though the Constitution demanded equal rights for blacks, states and counties implemented laws in specifically targeting black people in America, and furthermore, inciting violence against blacks without consequence. The Jim Crow era lasted from the year 1877 to the 1950s, also known as the beginning of the Civil Rights Movement. Now, you may ask, what laws were passed during this time? Well, here are some examples. Quote, marriages are void when one party is a white person and the other is possessed of 1/8 or more Negro, Japanese, or Chinese blood. End quote. Nebraska, 1911. Quote, it shall be unlawful for a Negro and a white person to play together or in company with each other in any game of cards or dice, dominoes, or checkers. End quote. Birmingham, Alabama, 1930. Quote, all railroads carrying passengers in the state, other than street railroads, shall provide equal but separate accommodation for the white and colored races by providing two or more passenger cars for each passenger train, or by dividing the cars by a partition so as to secure separate accommodations. End quote. Tennessee, 1891. It shall be unlawful for any white prisoner to be handcuffed or otherwise chained or tied to a Negro prisoner. End quote. Arkansas, 1903. Quote, no colored barber shall serve as a barber to white women or girls. End quote. Atlanta, Georgia, 1926. So, what was the main group in opposition to black people, and to what extent did violence occur? Well, the main white supremacist hate group was the KKK, otherwise known as the Ku Klux Klan. In addition to what was mentioned earlier, another example would turn out to be a major reoccurrence. In South Carolina in 1871, 500 masked Klan members raided the Union County Jail, then proceeded to lynch 8 black men. These members never went to trial either because the police didn't want to go against them or that the police were members themselves. Lynching was a disgustingly common practice within the South. According to the NAACP, 4,743 recorded, emphasis on recorded, people were lynched in America between the years 1882 and 1968. And of these 4,743 people, 3,446 were Black people. The reason I say emphasis on recorded is because a lot of the time, federal officials turned a blind eye to those who murdered Black people, and some would even participate. This blatant disregard for the murders of Blacks proves the fact that racism and white supremacy spread to all aspects of American life, and Blacks had to live in constant fear of being mutilated, lynched, burned alive, or the combination of all three. Lynching was a huge part of the Jim Crow era, but not even close to all of it. Unfortunately, that would cause for a much, much longer podcast. Furthermore, the effects of slavery, then later Jim Crow, and even now, still racist America, has taken a huge mental toll on the African-American community. This toll is also known as post-traumatic slave syndrome. This is a direct effect of multi-generational trauma on Blacks in America. The repeated injustices and fears carried down to African-American descendants today. Some examples would be colorism, the less-than mindset, and poor parenting due to an individual's lack of mother or father because of either slavery or the Jim Crow era. In a fight for justice and civil rights, W.E.B. Du Bois, an African-American sociologist, writes this letter to the UN concerning discrimination of African-Americans in America. This is an excerpt of the statement called, quote, "An Appeal to the World," end quote. We appeal to the world to witness that this attitude of America is far more dangerous to mankind than the atom bomb. A far, far more clamorous for attention than disarmament or treaty. To disarm the hidebound minds of men is the only path to peace. And as long as Great Britain and the United States profess democracy with one hand and deny it to millions with the other, they convince none of their sincerity, least of all themselves. Not only that, but they encourage the aggression of smaller nations. So long as the Union of South Africa defends humanity and lets 2 million whites enslave 10 million colored people, its voice spells hypocrisy. So long as Belgium holds in both economic and intellectual bondage a territory 75 times her own size and larger in population, no one can sympathize with her loss of dividends based on serf labor at 25 to 50 cents a day. 7 million, quote, white Australians cannot yell themselves into championship of democracy for 700 million Asiatics. Therefore, peoples of the world, we American Negroes appeal to you. Our treatment in America is not merely an internal question of the United States. It is a basic problem of humanity, of democracy, of discrimination because of race and color. And as such, it demands your attention and action. No nation is so great that the world can afford to let it continue to be deliberately unjust, cruel, and unfair towards its own citizens. End quote. W.E.B. Du Bois, 1947. To conclude, I would like to share a story of Jim Crow, spoken by an anonymous interviewee and provided by the American Public Media, Remembering Jim Crow. Here's the testimony. The children laugh, almost disbelieving my memories of growing up in Natchez, Mississippi, during the 1950s and 60s. Maybe one day I will write a book, just for them. Pictures in a book of white-only signs above entrances and water fountains are like whatnots on a table, harmless and quiet, unable to reveal the real crime against humanity. And I've got a book in me. A white-only sign above the only bus or train depot entrance in a thunderstorm, with your mama getting soaked, holding a shoebox full of food because restaurants serve white-only, is another matter altogether. Approaching the dentist office, you would swing to the rear to the colored waiting room, the back porch and wooden benches. We couldn't show enough gratitude, and we waited in winter coats, raincoats, and in sweltering summer heat. The white-only public schools threw their outdated books to the colored schools instead of in the trash, but our diligent teachers taught us to sand the outer edges so the books would at least appear clean, and we made book covers from brown grocery bags. We could buy everything in the dime store but a soda or a burger from the same dime store's lunch counter. All hotel rooms were white only. We watched movies from the segregated colored balcony of the theaters. People were beaten and killed or just disappeared because voting was for whites only. A white-only ambulance couldn't respond to a colored emergency, so local colored funeral homes provided this service to our community, though they had no medical training. Most horrendous of all is the still unsolved murder of Warless Jackson, whose truck was bombed as he drove home from work, having been recently moved from custodial duties to a white man's job of painting tires at the plant. Oh, the murders all over Mississippi. Like I said, I got a book in me. Anonymous. Avondale Estates, Mississippi.